Audience support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast sharing all the awesome since 2013. This is episode 116. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThul on Twitter.
And I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
And I'm Mike at OfficialPagan on Twitter.
Yes, we are all on Twitter. And our goal is to possibly, Mike, have a podcast that I don't have to mark as explicit.
Wait. What podcast did you have to mark as explicit because of me?
Every frickin' Squat Cobbler we've gone through.
That's not true. Episode 2 is not explicit.
That's true. Okay. So one out of a couple, but that's true.
And episode 3 was really Mel's fault because it was her recommendation.
That's right. And that has been the problem, as we've established, is that Mel's a challenging force in here.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's awesome. So gang, what we're back at right now, the general plan, always subject to change, but in general, what we're looking to do is do a nurture and support twice a month and do a squat cobbler twice a month. So we're on the nurture and support cycle for this one, and it'll be a much happier, pleasant place than the darkness that is squat cobbler. I'll go ahead. We didn't do a lot of briefing before this podcast, but I'll go ahead and start. We'll maybe go me, Mike, and then Mel, and I will just get going right away with my recommendation. So our good friend Ashley, who joined us a while before, offered a really handy kind of work organization, you know, list organization tool called Workflowy, and it's a really, really cool tool. But I'm here to recommend a better tool than Workflowy for this time. It's called Google Keep. It is available on Android, as you might expect for a Google device, but it's also available on iOS for those of you, Mel, who use an iOS device.
Or as we like to think of them, the enemy.
That's right, the dark ones.
Yes, but they're so cool. Have I mentioned that whole Apple Pen thing on the iPad Pro?
Are you sporting an iPad Pro these days?
I am. I got the new 9.7. Pretty nifty. Pretty nifty, y'all.
Well, we'll save it. Is this going to be tied to your recommendation a little bit or not?
No, not at all.
So what do you use it for?
Well, my iPad was getting older and was locking up and doing that really fun random restart thing, my other iPad. So I was looking at a new one anyway. And I liked the idea of the Apple Pen, but I didn't want to get the iPad Pro, the first version. And then they started talking about they were coming out. You know, they had that press conference. They were coming out with a smaller one. I couldn't get it right then, but it ended up being given to me as a gift later. So it was, it's really cool. But I tried out that coloring app I had talked about with the Apple Pen. And it's all really pretty cool. The Apple Pen's pretty nifty. Responds to pressure and all that stuff. So if you were an artist type person, you would find this totally cool. But you can write all of those note-taking apps that you can write in with an actual stylus work really well with the Apple Pen on an iPad Pro. The Apple Pen will not work with a normal iPad. You have to have the Pro version. So anyway, it's cool, but that's not my recommendation today.
Yeah, my younger, less favorite daughter sits in the Apple world, and it's very, very artistic. So we'll have to probably explore that a little bit further.
Like, I know the kid, like, you have favorite kids and stuff like that. Are you allowed to let them know which one's which, though?
I provide weekly rankings and to clarify to them. And poor younger daughter is kind of ensconced in number 2 position because, well, she's blatantly honest and kind of points out the idiocy of dad. So she's kind of locked into number 2 for a long time. 'Cause older daughter's smart enough to go, yeah, he's stupid, but I'm not going to bring it to his attention. So, but let's talk about Google Keep. Google Keep is tremendously cool. One of the biggest things I use it for is with now both Squat Cobbler and Nurture and Support, keeping track of, hey, this would be a good recommendation, and then needing to kind of mark it down somewhere because memory is not so good anymore. Google Keep's outstanding for that. So I've got, you know, it's basically an app. It's a note-taking app. You can create multiple notes. You can include images. You can record your voice you can do it. So basically, it would be a parallel to Evernote. And there's a number of different articles out there that kind of compare and contrast the two. But it really is very, very simple to use. And the biggest thing that I have kind of struggled with is, and Workflowy was pretty awesome, so thank you, Ashley, for that recommendation. And I've been trying to use it, and I have used it for recommendations and other things and to-do lists. But I've really switched over to Google Keep because I've struggled mightily to find some sort of app. I'm not an organized guy. Anything that can help me out a little bit would be a good thing, and I've tried all the different things. I tried Workflowy, tried Evernote, I've tried a lot of different things. But Keep was working out incredibly well. So it's this idea of, hey, I need to start a grocery list, so you can fire off a grocery list, start to build that type of process through there, build the list of the different things you want, and then when you actually hit the grocery store and start going through, you can create it with checkboxes. For the list, and as you hit them, it drops them off the list. It keeps them down below as things you've checked off, but it just kind of adds you, okay, I've got the tomatoes, I've got this, I've got that. They drop off the list, so it's really easy, very, very low friction to kind of jump in and add a note. As you create the notes, you can color code them. So I have kind of anything podcast related as one set of colors, to-do lists as one set of colors, gift ideas for people, another set of colors, and so you can kind of create it. And it's a tile-based environment, so when you go in, it's just all the notes are kind of set up in a tile. I do, with Jeans, we do the podcasts on the Walking Talking comics, and we kind of cover the Walking Dead comics. And so I just have one note that lists the next episode that we're going to talk about, so I can go back in and make sure that I look at that. So it's a really simple interface, very low friction to kind of enter the information. You can build checklists. You can just build general lists. You can include video. You can record audio. And it really makes it really kind of simple. So if you're looking to kind of, when you've written stuff down, and I write stuff down in a lot of places that I lose, this has been a really tremendous thing. So it's Google Keep. It does work on iOS, and it basically has the same functionality on iOS as Android. There might be a couple subtleties here and there, but basically the same functionality is there. And you can create multiple lists. And so this, you know, my primary use is recommendations for podcasts, to-do lists, other things I want to keep track of from there. Super simple to use. You can color code them. So it's very simple to kind of go through, and then it's a tiled environment. You can slide up and down through there. Very, very easy to use. So if you're in the market for something to keep track of lists and notes and those types of things, I think you should take a look at Google Keep, because being captain of the remarkably unorganized, this has helped me a little bit. In fact, it helped me tonight as I said, what is my recommendation for tonight? And Google Keep was sitting right there at the top of my list of recommendations. So my recommendation for this week is Google Keep.
Did you say that you could embed, you could put pictures in, or was it just video and audio?
It's video, audio, pictures, and also, I mentioned audio, but that idea of you can just hit record and just kind of do a quick audio note if you wanted to do some of those types of things. So it's kind of full multimedia from there.
Okay. Yeah, I like the ones where you get to put a picture in, because sometimes I need to put a picture in and take notes off what the picture is supposed to mean. So,
I haven't used the drawing capability of it a whole lot yet, but it looks like, you know, there might be some times where that would be pretty handy. But what I really like is the simplicity of the interface. And Workflowy is really good too, but this is just slightly simpler when you're lazy. It's like create a new list and do those types of things. And my battle against my lack of organization will continue, but this has helped a little bit. So I've got like a work to do, a home to do, the podcast stuff, the grocery list, the gift list, all that fun things. The ranking of the daughters, always good to have that on there. So it all works out real well.
Cool.
Mr. Mike, I believe we will put you up next for a recommendation.
Thank you, sir. That was a really good recommendation. If I was organized enough to try and organize things, I would use that. All right, so my recommendation for this week is a subscription service called Vinyl Me Please. I don't know if you guys have heard of this or are familiar with it in any way.
Is this an over 18 website?
No, it's nothing you'd be interested in, Kelly. It's called Vinyl Me Please. So anyway, It's a monthly subscription service. You get an exclusive pressing of a record, whether it's a famous album. The first two, I'm coming up on my third record that I'll be getting soon. The first two that I got were anniversary editions of famous albums. The third one that's coming is a lesser-known album that they're trying to spotlight. And with each pressing, it's on a special colored or picture disc. They have special packaging that's exclusive to them. But in addition to that, it also comes with a print of an artwork that was somehow inspired by that band or that album. They also put together a cocktail recipe of what you should be drinking while you listen to that album.
Nice.
They give you liner notes with the album itself, and then you also get other offers and things like that. Like the first record that I received came with, I believe it was a $25 off coupon for a food delivery service, which was about what I think it costs per month for this service, because you can do it in 3-month increments, as I did, which I believe was $75 for that. Which, if you're like me and you buy a lot of vinyl, you'll know that $25 for just a record is about what they cost now, $25 to $30 on their own. And with these, you're getting all the extra stuff with them as well, like the print, the cocktail recipes, you get links to videos, you get these other offers with it and everything like that as well. I'm just really trying to push people to buy vinyl records. So this is a really good way to build up your collection, because I can't be the only crazy person who has like 5,000 records. So I feel like I look less crazy if I can get more people on board with this.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Alicia is way into the vinyl too.
She is. Yeah. In a good
You're
way.
You're not the only one. Also a musician. He's way into vinyl.
All right, so we got to try.
You're far more talented than me, but.
we got to try a pop quiz here, because I love this idea of cocktails with albums. So let's go with Captain Beefheart Trout Mask Replica. Michael, what would your cocktail be for Captain Beefheart?
That's hard. I mean, I'm not even sure that would be a cocktail. Like, it might just be drinking something straight out of a glass.
Yeah.
What would you suggest, Kelly, with that?
Oh, I think Everclear with grape juice would be the Trout Mask Replica appropriate.
And let me just say, as a personal recommendation to everybody, as far as drinking, listening to albums, a glass of gin with nothing else in it is always the way to go.
Okay. So, Mel, what would be your favorite album cocktail?
I'm not much of a cocktail person, unless it's a regular, plain old margarita. My other drink of choice is vodka. Or, if you're going to mix stuff, then this is a holdover from my college days when we would mix Diet Coke and vodka. Most people find that to be very odd, but that was a staple of my college years, and it has persisted.
Which
a staple
of
my I'm sorry, Kelly.
I was gonna say, I would think Go-Go Bordello would be the vodka and Coke combination would be good.
I think that would go well. So I might have to try that. Only I'd have to go to the liquor. No, I don't have any Diet Coke. I don't drink soda. I have vodka. I'd have to go get the Diet Coke.
Or not.
Right.
I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
I remember where I was maybe an alcoholic and was drinking large quantities of vodka every day at work. We would take bottles of Gatorade, and as I'm sure you're aware, Gatorade comes in bright colored variants of the flavor. Yeah. So you would, you know, drink a little bit of Gatorade, pour some vodka in. After a while, the Gatorade would start to become watered down. By the end of the day, your whatever it started as purple, red, green Gatorade was just vodka that you were just pouring into the Gatorade bottle, not even trying to hide what it was anymore.
Well, it could be water. You've just filled it up with water.
We tried that. Well, I mean, saying that, not tried putting water in our Gatorade bottles. That's insane.
It's crazy talk.
Yes.
But I really liked the idea, and part of what I think sold me on signing up for this service was the idea of getting a cocktail recipe with the record and the art print and imagining listening to the record, staring at the art print, drinking the cocktail. Like, I feel like they're just planning out an evening for me, and I like that.
And you have to have a smoking jacket on.
I feel like you should always have a smoking jacket on. A smoking
True.
Jacket and underwear.
True.
Not pants.
Yes.
A smoking jacket, underwear, and I always wear socks.
I was
so
going to say black socks.
Black socks. So that's just to set the scene for you. That's exactly how I experience the Vinyl Me Please deliveries every month to my home.
Yes. Now everyone is going to run out and buy a smoking jacket and get a subscription to Vinyl Me, please.
It's weird if you don't already own a smoking jacket and black socks.
That's right. Yeah, and it's a shame, you know, the nurture and support is an audio-only delivery because, hey, gang, Mel, Mike, and I are all in smoking jackets and black socks as we record this today.
So, see, with me, though, you can't even tell I don't have a shirt on under it. Between the hair and the tattoos, it just looks like a weird Christmas sweater.
Oh, yes.
We actually have a strict no-pants policy in the house. It's enforced by a magnet that's on the refrigerator that says home is where the pants aren't.
So we'll hope that, like, human services, any sort of family-related evaluation by the government's not listening to Nurture and Support. I'm sure we're fine.
Yeah, we had to step in with the tiny humans because we ran into an issue where one of the tiny humans went somewhere with us, and it was like a family gathering, and we walked in the door, and he looked down, and he was like, I gotta get these pants off. So that's when we realized we had to kind of, like, there's some, like, at home, sure, no pants. When we're out, maybe you keep the pants on, though.
Yes. At other people's homes, you have to keep your pants on.
Yeah. If I had a nickel for every time I said I had to have the pants off.
To be fair, I undermined that entire policy that I had just created because then I took my pants off, so it was all for nothing.
Yes. I pity the child.
So, Mel, this is a remarkably strong lead into your recommendation.
Okay. I have a book this week. I really, really loved this book. I think it came out in 2013, and I just finished it. So I was a little late on this one. It's by Joe Hill, who we've talked about a little bit before. I think when we were talking about Daniel Radcliffe, we mentioned Joe Hill. Joe Hill is a writer. He's also the writer of the comic book Lock and Key, which a lot of people know of. It's a horror comic. This book is called Nosferatu, but the title is actually a vanity license plate. So it is N0S4A2. Now, that's what the actual picture is, y'all, but when you go to search for this, like on Amazon to buy this book, they don't actually have it as N0. You have to search for it as NOS4A2. That irks me every time I look it up, but that's the way it is. So Nosferatu, everyone knows what Nosferatu means. Nosferatu is another word for vampire. And this is the story of a young girl. It starts when this girl is pretty young. Her name is Victoria McQueen, and she has this special ability where she can find pretty much most anything. She gets up on her bicycle, and she rides across the Shorter Way Bridge, and it magically dumps her out wherever it is that the item that she's looking for is. It takes her basically anywhere that she is looking for. So the weird part of this is that she really doesn't have a lot of real distinct memories of doing all of these things. The human mind, it's excused as, you know, we don't understand these things, and so it sort of blurs after the fact. She also gets these very bad headaches after she does these things, and so she grows up and reaches kind of her teenage years and really kind of forgets that she ever had this ability whatsoever. Well, there's a bad guy out there who has a very similar ability, only instead of using a bicycle and a bridge, he uses a vintage Rolls-Royce Wraith, and his name is Charlie Manx. And the license plate on this Wraith is Nosferatu, hence the title of the book. He is a serial kidnapper. He takes children, and from his way of thinking, he takes children to save them, and he takes them to this magical place called Christmasland. Christmasland, as the book goes on, you kind of get a feeling Christmasland may not be all that fun, that Santa might not really like Christmasland very much. Victoria grows up. She is warned by a mysterious librarian that she's the only one that can find Charlie Manx and stop him. Well, in a fit of teenage rebellion, she ends up finding Charlie Manx. And he is kidnapped a child who is trapped in the back seat of the Wraith. And what it very much appears like is that he sucks all the life out of these children and turns them into basically very evil Eddie Munsters. And they're very bad little children who have razor sharp teeth and who would happily kill you and gleefully laugh the entire time. And Charlie Manx, oh, he's only about 140 years old, but he doesn't look like it. So that's the setup on all of this, is she runs into Charlie Manx, ends up, I'm not going to spoil how it happens, but she ends up getting him caught and getting him arrested. And he goes to prison and basically falls into a coma and lives for a very long time in a coma in a prison hospital. Meanwhile, Vic grows up, runs out, has a kid, gets into a lot of trouble, becomes a children's book author in the midst of having a lot of, life problems. She's a very flawed character. It's one of the things I really loved about this book is that Vic is one of the most flawed heroines I can think of lately, that's set in kind of our type of world and not a fantasy type world. But she's really very flawed. But that doesn't make her necessarily a bad person, even despite she's got a lot of problems with drug use. She's actually clinically crazy. She hears voices. The children from Christmasland call her on the phone. And she takes the drugs and does all these things trying to make the voices stop. She ends up burning her house down because she puts all the phones in the house in the oven and tries to burn them up and ends up burning her house down. And she's put locked away in an asylum and is kept away from her child. But we fast forward to later in her life. She's trying to clean her stuff up. And she's got her kid. And guess who wakes up from his coma? Charlie Manx. And he comes after her and her child. And so she has to try to rediscover the abilities that she forgot to save her child. So it's full of a lot of very interesting characters. It may not sound like it's all that scary, but creepy children are really, really creepy. And Charlie Manx is really one of the scariest types of villains around. But even worse than him is his sidekick, Bing. And Bing is crazy. Bing is a very bad person. And Bing will scare you.
And runs a second popular search engine.
Yes. Yes. No, Bing's not quite smart enough to run a search engine. He likes to wear a gas mask from World War II and or Vietnam. I forget which one it's supposed to be from. Anyway, he's also called the Gas Mask Man because he wears a gas mask and when he's perpetrating his crimes for Charlie. So it's really very creepy. It took me a really long time to read this book, honestly, because I had to stop sometimes because of the creepy children. Creep me out. I'm not a Christmas fan anyway, and this book did not help that, but that was kind of why I read it, is because, hey, I already don't like Christmas, so that's not going to ruin anything for me anyway. But it's a really good story that not only is it horror that it's supposed to scare you, but it's really about kind of overcoming the human condition and coming back from your mistakes and trying to do good in spite of how you've screwed up in your life and how much you can love your family despite being a screw up and doing everything wrong and eventually doing the right thing, no matter what it costs, because you love your family. So that's essentially, to me, what the book was about. It's really, really good. And on a side note, a TV station I'm really not very fond of at the moment, AMC is actually going to try to turn this into a TV series. So it will be interesting to see what they do with that. A lot of people, the Christmas land in this book is very Tim Burton-esque, so they really have a lot of stuff they would have to get right to really make this book kind of work out. But Joe Hill is really, he's a really amazing horror writer. He is Stephen King's son, by the way. So he comes about it naturally. And it's really cool. I was drawn to it, of course, because I like vampire stuff. And Nosferatu was just pretty cool as a license plate. Too bad now it's taken. But it's cool. Nosferatu by Joe Hill. It's a pretty big book. I want to say it was like 600 pages. But it's well worth it. It's really cool. Vic McQueen is really pretty much a badass. So I think y'all will like her.
So the thing I was super excited, so Nosferatu, outside of being one of the few complex words I can pronounce accurately, which I'm very proud of, Bubba Hotep, former Nurture and Support recommendation. At the end of Bubba Hotep, they throw a little teaser at the end to say, next episode, Bubba Hotep versus Nosferatu. And I think they're actually making that. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to involve Bruce Campbell. But that'll be pretty awesome if that happens.
Yeah.
But anything with Nosferatu in it, thumbs up. Because the original Nosferatu, pretty amazing movie.
It was scary. It was scary when I was a kid. All that silent creeping.
Yeah. Lots of claws and shadows and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And that's just what was going on in Kelly's house when he was watching it.
Well, that's, yeah, whatever.
So, Kelly, are you a Joe Hill fan?
No. I mean, I hate to say no. I mean, Mel has opened a new world for me here. So it's not been something I have a lot of familiarity with. How about you?
I'm a huge Joe Hill fan.
Have you read this one?
Yes, I have. Okay. Yeah. I would recommend, Kelly, well, first off, you have to read Nosferatu because it was Mel's recommendation. So you have to do it. That's the first thing you have to do as soon as this episode ends.
Immediately.
Go and download that on your e-reader and read that book. But I also would strongly recommend that you read his short story collection, 21st Century Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really shocked.
We're giving you homework.
Yeah, I remain shocked that Mike can read. You know, this has been a stunner for me in the process, but very impressive.
Well, the Lock and Key comics, the graphic novels, are really good too. They're very violent, but they're really good. And he has a new book that just came out called The Fireman.
I know. I've downloaded it, and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I have some others I need to finish before I can start that. So.
Fine. I'm going to have to read stuff.
Come
go
on,
read every issue of Lock and Key and every Joe Hill book by the next time you guys do a Nurture and Support.
Yeah. You read Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I muscled through that. That was not easy. Especially the books kept getting like ridiculously thicker as we went deeper into it. But so absolutely fantastic recommendation, Mel. I will based on your recommendation, not Mike's encouragement, read some Joe Hill. So we'll do that. All righty. So this will be the part where we move into the kind of sketchy. Who's going to actually have something to provide? Social media recommendations. So I have one. I have no idea whether this person's valuable or not. Well, actually, I take that back because that was going to be my initial recommendation. I had this in Google Keep as my recommendation, but I've crossed it out and I've moved to the second one. So this one I do believe is actually an outstanding recommendation. And it's going to be Elizabeth Braun. She's an actress. She's been in Vampire Diaries and a bunch of other things. And then her Twitter handle is Elizabeth with a Z, Elizabeth L. Braun. And she looks incredibly fun and looks like a really good Twitter follow. So I'm going to recommend Elizabeth L. Braun as my recommendation, social media recommendation for this week. Do either of the other Nurture and Support compatriots have a social media recommendation for this week?
Pass.
So I have one, sort of. I recommend that everybody follows me on Instagram because I bought a new guitar, and it is neon green, and you should all look at it.
Okay.
So that would be official Pagan? You might want to actually provide the handle.
Sorry, yeah, that's right. It's official Pagan, and you should just go follow me and then like the picture of the bright, bright green guitar.
I don't know how I missed that today. Did you post that today?
Yeah, not long ago, actually.
Okay. Whoa. So Mike, just to clarify, the subtle plugging is supposed to occur on Squat Cobbler, not Nurture and Support.
But this isn't me. I'm not plugging my album Dead Girls that's coming out on Universal later this year. What I'm plugging is that you follow me on Instagram so you can see my green guitar. That's all. There was no plug there.
So just to clarify, you're not plugging Dead Girls, available on Universal later this year.
Yes, that is not. I would never come on here and plug my album Dead Girls, coming out later this year on Universal. Just that you go and look at my green guitar. It is the greenest thing that I've ever seen in the world. It is so green. It's ridiculous. Like, I can't stress enough how ludicrous this guitar looks. You need to go and see it for yourself.
At, actually it's not an ad. It's just Official Pagan on Instagram, correct?
Correct, yes.
And if you go follow him today, when that Dead Girls album thing that he's not plugging comes out, you'll find out about it right there.
Yeah, you would. But in the meantime, you can look at a picture of the greenest guitar that you've ever seen before. You will seriously thank me for exposing you to what might be made out of nuclear waste that can play music.
Awesome.
So what is your preferred... So you're a Theragram guy, you're a Moog guy, you're a guitar guy. What's your preferred instrument, Mike?
I'm predominantly a synthesizer player. I play analog synthesizers mostly. I just own a lot of guitars. I'm not really a guitar player. In fact, the Tiny Humans pointed that out recently, which I didn't know that they were aware of. We were walking through a guitar center, and one of them was like, "Are we buying another guitar? You don't actually play guitar." And I was like, "You shut up." And that's really cool that you know that, but shut up. We can never have enough guitars.
That'd be an awesome children book, "You Shut Up."
Kelly's children's book would be, "This Is Why You're Only the Second Favorite."
Yes, right. And you're never going to break that glass ceiling to number two, ever. But she's at peace with that, so that's a good thing.
Maybe it should be like a coloring book, second best kid.
Yeah. Well, gang, what a fun nurture and support this was indeed. The subtle plug pulled in at the end. It's good. A couple good recommendations. So we really appreciate everybody for listening. So thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Did Kelly just disappear?
Nurturing and supporting.